Apostle Peter tells us, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith. Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we want to talk today about your adversary, the devil. We want to talk about being alert. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. I grew up watching Star Trek. The original Star Trek with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock and Scotty and Bones. And if you got into the Star Trek show, you knew that when the ship was in danger, Captain Kirk would call for red alert. Sometimes they'd have yellow alert, just, hey, it's not so great. But red alert is be on your guard. We are in grave danger and don't let your guard down. Red alert. Well, the Lord tells us that through the Apostle Peter. Hey, we need to be on the alert. We need to be sober. We desperately and so importantly, we need to keep our guard up. Watch over your heart with all diligence, the Bible says, for from it flow the springs of life. You've probably seen those videos that are shown where people celebrate, athletes celebrate too early. Maybe it's a bicycle race and the guy thinks he has it won and starts coasting into the finish line, raises his arms, and he gets beat. I've seen that in bicycle races. I've seen that in skating races. I've seen that even in foot races where the winner or the leader loses sight of the fact that somebody's coming up behind him and he coasts in looking at the crowd. Hey, look what I did. And he loses. Boxers can do that. If they let down their guard, then they can get knocked out. Well, the devil is always prowling about. He's looking for an opening. He's looking for a chink in the armor. He's looking to devour, to steal, and to kill and destroy. I remember years ago, I preached on the devil, and I said, what could we relate the devil to? And to me, the devil is like the Terminator. In the original Terminator movie, 1984, that was so very popular with Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he played the Terminator, I'll be back. And there's a scene where Reese, who is the protector of Sarah Connor, and Sarah Connor was the target of the Terminator. He was sent back from the future to kill her. And Reese has a conversation with Sarah Connor because she's just this girl that works at a diner. She doesn't have any knowledge of the future or what is, you know, how she was so important. But Reese tells her, listen, what you don't understand, because she wanted to run to the police and she didn't know if this guy Reese was a good guy or a bad guy. She just knew that somebody was trying to kill her. And he said to her, you don't understand. He said, this Terminator, it doesn't feel pity. It doesn't feel remorse. It doesn't feel fear. And it will not stop until you're dead. And I've always thought about that line. And I thought that describes the devil. He doesn't feel pity. He doesn't feel remorse. He has one objective, and that is to steal, kill, and destroy. I guess you could say three objectives, but they're all kind of wrapped up in one nefarious objective, to wreck and ruin your life. And he doesn't stop. You know, the devil doesn't take a break. He doesn't take a vacation. He is 24/7 prowling about seeking someone to devour. So we are to resist him firm in our faith. And we're not to let our guard down. We're to constantly be on the alert and to be wary of where the devil might be trying to get in. Now, last night in our Wednesday night service, I preached going through the book of Genesis, verse by verse through the book of Genesis. And we talked about Noah. We finished the life of Noah, and it was very interesting. If you read in Genesis 9, you know, Noah comes off the boat with his family. He was on the ark for a little over a year, somewhere around 370 days. And so he finally gets off the ark and he enters a new world. Things are different now. The old world, theologians call that old world the antediluvian world. That was the world that was destroyed with a flood. So that world was different kind of environment. We, as reading between the lines, we know in that old world there had never been rain. God would water the ground from a mist that would rise up from the ground. And so the trees and the plants and things like that, they weren't watered by rain. They were watered by a mist that came up from the ground. So makes Noah's mission to preach to the people and to build this great vessel that would handle the storm and to talk about God sending a flood, God sending rain, makes it even that much more powerful when you think about it, because if the people had never seen rain, they would think, Noah, you're a nut. What are you talking about rain? You're talking about a flood. We don't know what you're talking about. There's never been anything like this. And the world had been going on at that time for over 1,600 years. It was in the year 1656 that God sent a flood, from counting from the first year in the day of Adam. 1,656 years of flood came. Well, they didn't know what rain was. And so in the new world, there's going to be rain. There's going to be rain because God had told Noah, listen, I'm going to put my bow in the cloud, my rainbow. And so when there's rain come, don't freak out thinking that another flood that's going to destroy the world is coming, because this is going to be the normal cycle of things. And so he came out to a new world. But what he didn't come out to was the absence of sin. The devil didn't drown in the flood, and his sin nature didn't drown in the flood. All the sinners who wouldn't trust God, they drowned in the flood. But he comes out of the ark, Noah and his wife, and Ham and his wife, and Shem and his wife, and Japheth and his wife, his three boys and his three daughters-in-law. They come out, and all eight of those people have to deal with the devil, and they have to deal with their sin nature. And what do we read about Noah? He's won a great victory because his preaching was validated. And as Adrian Rogers says, he went into the ark a minority, he comes out a majority, and all those who don't want to follow God are gone. And so he's just there with his family. They all love the Lord. They all want to follow the Lord. And Noah, one of the first things he does after he builds an altar, after he gives thanks to the Lord, then he plants a vineyard and he makes wine and he gets drunk. Now, that's pretty shocking, because Noah is a righteous man. The Bible says he's righteous and he's blameless. But remember this, being blameless doesn't mean that you're sinless. And being righteous, it doesn't have to do with, the fact that Noah was this guy that in and of himself, he was so holy before God. No, he was righteous because he put his faith and trust in the Lord. Abraham believed God and his faith was counted for righteousness. That's what the scripture says. And so same with Noah. He put his faith and trust in the Lord, and that faith, that trust was counted for him as righteousness, and he found favor. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but he still sinned, and he sinned a great sin, because not only was he drunk, but then he went inside his tent and he became naked. And I was thinking about that as I preached that last night, and I said, you know, on the heels of great victory, as Noah experienced great victory, there often comes great defeat in our lives. You know, the Bible is so replete with stories like that, where people had a great mountaintop experience with the Lord, and then boom, then they seem to fall. I think about Exodus 14 is the parting of the Red Sea. That is the greatest Old Testament miracle in the Bible. I mean, they're talking about the parting of the Red Sea all the time. And the scripture refers to that constantly because that was such a great miracle. And God, not only did his people pass through on dry land, probably 1.5 to 2 million people that passed through on dry land, but then he drowned Pharaoh and his armies in the Red Sea. He caused that water to come back on them when they were chasing God's people through the Red Sea. A great miracle. Exodus 15, the song of Moses, and they're singing and they're praising and they're saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. The Lord, my God, my strength, my song, and now he is my victory. And they're singing and dancing and everything is a party, a great victory. And then in the same chapter, Exodus 15, what happens? They go 3 days into the wilderness, which is the desert, and they have no water, and they grumble, and they gripe, and they complain, and they say to Moses, what are we going to do? We have no water. And then they find water, and they go to drink it, and it's bitter, and it was the waters of Marah. Marah means bitterness, and things are bad. And it didn't take long to go from the mountaintop of God's great victory to the bitter waters of Marah and gripe and grumble and complain and lose sight of God and quit walking by faith. That is the consistent refrain in Scripture. You remember Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. They defeated the city of Jericho with those high walls, and they did it by trusting God. And it was a great victory. I mean, that was the first enemy that they encountered in the in the Promised Land as they went in. That was a great victory. And what comes after Jericho? Ai, just a town of two letters, A and I. And it was a little piddly podunk city. Hey, we just whipped Jericho. We can beat Ai. We don't even need to send the first team out there. We send the third team bench warmers and just a few of them, and they can mop up Ai. But Israel got routed at Ai. Great victory in Jericho. Great defeat at Ai. Now, the defeat came because Achan had stolen things under the ban from Jericho that he wasn't supposed to. But you see that picture. Elijah in the Bible, great victory on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18. What do we see in 1 Kings 19? He's running for his life from Jezebel, and he goes to the desert, and he asks the Lord to kill him. Now, Lord, take my life. I'm not greater than my father's. Just kill me. Great victory, great defeat. Peter, when he said, Matthew 16, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And in the same chapter, when Peter rebukes the Lord for saying that he was going to go to the cross, God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. Man, great victory to great defeat. And that happened to Peter, boom, just in the same conversation in a short period of time. But that often happens to us. Why? Because we let our guard down. We're not on red alert. We don't realize that the devil is at work, prowling around like a roaring lion. Therefore, if anyone thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation is out there. Your flesh wants to sin. The devil wants to work on your flesh to get you to sin so that he can steal and kill and destroy. Hey, what do we do with temptation? What do we do with the devil? We resist him firm in our faith. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we're talking about our adversary, the devil, and we're talking about the fact that sin is out there. It's inside in our sinful flesh, and it's out there in the devil, and we need to resist the devil. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Does the changing of the seasons have you thinking about the future? If you're feeling like you can't contribute as you have in the past, maybe we can offer some help. There are many ways to make an end-of-the-year charitable gift. A cash donation comes with the advantage of a tax deduction. Transferring appreciated stock can allow you to avoid capital gains taxes. You could leave a gift through a will or trust by naming AFA as a beneficiary. And a charitable gift annuity provides a deduction for today as well as guaranteed income for life. Let us show you how to maximize your year-end giving for yourself and for AFA. Visit AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345. If the economy has you worried about what the future may bring, giving through the AFA Foundation could help. Again, that's AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools. And their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
This is a unique moment in the history of our country where we have an opportunity to restore the foundations of this nation.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch.
To a nation that once again honors God. It will not happen unless God's people are informed and engaged.
Join Tony Perkins for Washington Watch. Weekday afternoons at 4 Central and Saturday evening at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan, double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about 1 Peter 5:8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. It's red alert. Time in our lives, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, the devil uses fear to get us to flee, to get us off the battlefield, to get us to be intimidated and to cower and to be quiet and to run and hide like a roaring lion. I've preached 1 Peter 5:8 before in church, and I'll have our sound engineer, I say, now listen, when I cue you, play this clip of a lion roaring and play it really loud for the people to hear. And so he does, and you can just, they're not expecting it. And so they all jump because it's a scary thing to hear a lion roar. And so the devil does that. He tries to intimidate us. He tries to invoke fear in our hearts so that we run away so that he can devour us. And so he works in all different ways, but he really wants us so often. He plays the long game, and so he comes at us, and just because you have a victory one day doesn't mean you're going to have a victory the next day. Every day is a battle, and every day we have to put on the full armor of God and take the shield of faith, resist him, as Peter says, firm in your faith, and take the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. He shoots those flaming arrows at us, and we put them out through the shield of faith. And so as we talked about Genesis 9, Noah, a righteous man, you know, Noah is one of the choicest servants that God ever had. The job that he had to do was huge. It was monumental. He is one guy in the midst of a wicked world with hundreds of millions and probably multiple billions of people on the earth at that time. People lived so long back then. And he's one guy who stood firm, one guy who faced all the ridicule, all the shame, all the scorn and mockery that would come with the fact of his preaching saying judgment is coming. People don't like to hear that judgment is coming. People just want to hear that God is love and you can live any way you want and there are no consequences for sin. They wanted to hear that back in the days of Noah in the antediluvian world. They want to hear that today. I had somebody get on me on Twitter recently. And, you know, I hope you're one of these preachers that preaches the love of God and welcomes all people and you know, all sexual deviants. She didn't use the word sexual deviant, but, you know, all homosexuals are welcome. All trans people are welcome. I said, of course, all homosexuals are welcome. Of course, all trans people are welcome. They're welcome. But we tell them the truth, and we're not going to pat them on the back in their sin because that would not be loving, and we are to speak the truth in love. So you always have this pressure to conform. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, the Bible says, by the renewing of your mind. So Noah is a guy who stood firm in the truth. And the Bible recognizes in the book of Ezekiel the righteousness of Job, the righteousness of Daniel, and the righteousness of Noah. The Lord singles out those three guys. Even if these three guys were here, they could only deliver themselves by their righteousness, the Lord says. So Noah was a righteous guy. He was a preacher of righteousness, yet he let his guard down in the new world, Genesis 9, and he got drunk. And he got naked in his tent, and very, very interesting, very surprising that the scripture does this. It puts drunkenness and nakedness together. You know, there's drunkenness, there's nakedness, and then there's disgrace. This is what the scripture says in Habakkuk chapter 2. Woe to you who make your neighbors drink, who mix in your venom even to make them drunk, so as to look on their nakedness. You will be filled with disgrace rather than honor. Now you yourself drink and expose your own nakedness. The cup in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, and utter disgrace will come upon your glory. There's drunkenness that leads to nakedness that leads to disgrace. Lamentations 4:21, you will become drunk and make yourself naked. What do we see in society? We see when a man wants to seduce a woman, what does he tend to do? He wants to get her drunk. We have that little expression, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. And there's something about getting drunk that causes your inhibitions and your morality and your modesty to fade away, and you act on base impulses. And so often people who get drunk, they get naked, they get sexually immoral. We read about that in Genesis chapter 19, when Lot is in a cave with his two daughters and their homes and the cities of the plain, Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, have been destroyed with fire and brimstone that came out of heaven. And the daughters think, hey, it's the end of the world and we're not going to have a chance to have children. And so they get their father, Lot, drunk so they can have sex with him. And the older does it one night, and the next night the younger does it. And the Bible says that Lot didn't know when his daughter arose, when she laid down or when she arose. He was inebriated, and they both have sex with their father, and they both are pregnant in an incestuous relationship with their father. But it happened because of drunkenness. Drunkenness, nakedness, and disgrace. And Noah was disgraced, and we read the story. His youngest son, Ham, saw his father naked in the tent, and he was somehow got some pleasure out of that. Like I got dirt on daddy. I don't think it was perverted pleasure, but it was look at this and dad's disgraced and I'm going to spread his disgrace. And he told his two brothers and the two brothers, Shem and Japheth, boy, they wouldn't look on their father's nakedness. They grabbed a blanket and they walked backward. And so they wouldn't see, and they covered their father in the tent because the nakedness was shameful and disgraceful. And that's kind of how the story ends on Noah. Then he gives a proclamation and a prophecy about his boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that's how the story ends. And it says Noah lived 350 years after the flood, and he died an old man at 950 years old. But here's the nugget that I want to leave with you. Even a man as righteous as Noah, a man who heard directly from the Lord, God's man for the hour, he fell and he blew it. And I think that he fell and blew it because he let his guard down and he thought, hey, the battle is won, and he raised his arms in victory and he hadn't crossed the finish line yet. Listen, we're going to battle. You're going to battle with the world of flesh and the devil. I'm going to battle with the world of flesh and the devil until the day we die or until Jesus takes us home. So be on the alert. Be of sober spirit. We can have times of celebration and times to just enjoy and praise the Lord and thank the Lord for our victories. Sure, there's an Exodus 15 time where we just rejoice over the Red Sea parting and we sing and dance, that kind of thing. Yes, but don't let your guard down and just know that the devil's not going to stop. He is the original Terminator and he's going to keep coming after you. So live each day on red alert. Live each day abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. Every branch in me that doesn't abide in me is a branch that is thrown out in the fire. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then we can ask what we wish and it shall be done for us. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We bear much fruit when we abide in the vine. Apart from him, we can do nothing. So every day I have to be sure that my heart is sensitive and trusting and humble and dependent upon the Lord. I can't do this in life. Only he can do it through me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So we don't, though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Hey, we're in this fleshly body, but we don't live according to the flesh. We don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Be on the alert. Now remember, each day, this will help. Each day, thank God that he sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. Thank God that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. So that is the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day, and he'll save anybody who puts his faith and trust in him. So each day, thank him for the cross. Thank him for his resurrection. Thank him for giving you his Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended to heaven, and 10 days later, on the day of Pentecost, came the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, not only to be with us, but to live in us. And the Holy Spirit of God lives in every Christian. And then thank the Lord that he's coming again soon, and keep the death, burial, resurrection, and return of Christ so near and dear to your heart. That's how you live each day on red alert. Yes, we have an adversary out there, the devil, who wants to steal and kill and destroy, but we have a Savior who is greater. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We have a Savior in us who is coming back to get us one day. We don't know when, so we just wait eagerly for him to return. And we know that we're in a battle. We're soldiers in the Lord's army. We're in a battle, and a good soldier doesn't let his guard down when he's on the battlefield. And if we will live that way, then we will resist the devil, firm in our faith. We will walk in the Lord's ways. Doesn't mean we're going to live sinlessly. Nobody does that. But we're going to live blamelessly, and we're going to live to the glory of God. And we're going to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, as Paul says in Colossians, pleasing him in all respects. Well, I'd love to take your calls. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. As we talk about being on red alert, as we talk about our adversary, the devil, who wants to steal and kill and destroy, if you have a question about that, or you have a testimony to share, we would love to hear, and we'd love to interact. It's always a joy to be able to talk to listeners, and so I appreciate you listening to the program, and it's an encouragement to my heart when people call in and say, hey, the program is really helping me, it's blessing me, it's an encouragement to me. You know, we're called to encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't make any mistake. You struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. We struggle with sin. It is out there, and no one has arrived. We never arrive in the Christian life where, hey, I'm done. I don't need to grow anymore. You always need to grow. And we're always wanting to move forward in our relationship with Jesus. As one man said, you know, he wants to be so much like Jesus that when Jesus returns at the rapture and he is transformed, that the transformation isn't as great as it could be had he not been walking with the Lord. Now, that's a pretty tall order, because we are going to be transformed, but we want to walk with him in such a way that we please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, and bringing him glory. Well, we have Shirley on the line from Nashville, Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Something hit my mind. With dealing with Noah, people have choice. Even when they're sloppy drunk, they have choice. I've never known anybody get so sloppy drunk that they can't function, can't make a decision about something. They get sloppy drunk and drive cars. So it makes me wonder if he wasn't a party to his daughter's sexual abuse. Maybe he was missing his wife and just went ahead and let it happen. I think that maybe there's something more in the story that we don't understand, but it just brings me back to the fact that everybody has a choice. Everybody, even, you know, if you go out here and you decide to become a drug addict, even people who are strung out on drugs, yeah, their body may call for the drugs, but they have a choice to where they could just not take them. So that story always made me wonder, is it truly that the way we take it is that the girls were the wrong ones, or could he have been a party to that? And also it links me to today, because in today's time, people have a choice. You can take a vaccine or not take a vaccine. You can do that, you know, but you can't blame your actions on somebody else.
Yes, that's a very good observation, Shirley. Yeah, and that's not Noah that did that. That was Lot that did that with his daughters. And so, the scripture makes it clear that they got him drunk so that he would be more amenable to their seduction. They were, you know, they're not thinking, boy, we just want to have sex with dad. They want to have children. And their attitude is, the world is ending, and we don't have any husbands, and so we need to propagate the race. And so dad's the only man around, so let's seduce him, so to speak, so that we can get pregnant. And that's what happened. Is Lot scot-free? Is he lily white in this? Absolutely not. He knew a certain amount of what was going on. But the point I was making was, when there's drunkenness then that leads to nakedness, sexual immorality, and things like that. So that's a good point, Shirley. I appreciate people do have a choice, and people are accountable for their choices. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're taking your calls, so when we come back from the break, we'll visit on the phone.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days, we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Hello, my name is Nick Logue, and I've been a long-term supporter of American Family Radio. I want to let you know about a new film that we have just completed. It's called Paul's Promise. The film will be released in theaters across the U.S. on October 21st. Set in the turbulent 1960s, the film is about one man's struggle and about God's redemption through earnest prayer. Please visit paulspromisemovie.com to find or request a theater near you. Thank you, and God bless you.
In His image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality is changing hearts and lives.
It speaks directly to the power and the grace of God.
It gives me hope for people that I know that are struggling.
The whole idea of In His image has moved me.
We actually had one gentleman contact us, and he said that this film changed his mind about this issue. We had a pastor reach out to us, and he said that he'd been struggling with hatred in his heart towards people in the LGBTQ community, and this film helped him to realize he needed to have compassion and show people the love of Christ. We also had this same-sex attracted couple contact us, and they said after seeing the film, they wanted to live obedient lives for Christ no matter what, and they said, please pray for us. We know this is going to be hard. We've even had people come to faith in Jesus through In His Image.
To find out more, visit inhisimage.movie.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
A charitable gift annuity is a gift to American Family Association. Not only are you giving to the Lord's work, but you'll receive a lifetime income and excellent tax benefits.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're taking your calls in this segment, 888-589-8840, as we talk about your adversary, the devil. Be on the alert, Peter tells us. Be of sober spirit, because we have an enemy out there, the original Terminator, who comes to steal and kill and destroy, and we are to resist him firm in our faith. Well, we have Julie from Arkansas on the line. Julie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for taking my call. That's so interesting how you open your discussion. I love your show. You're a great teacher of learning scriptures. And it so happens that... So it happened we're doing Bible study, and we just talked about Genesis 19 yesterday. So it was a great passage, and something we all were stumbling upon. Of course, we were following through what the Lord's angels came and warned Lot, get out, get away. And so we were questioning, and then we went to a passage in 2 Peter and said, Peter stood up for Lot, and he had declared him a traitor. So we're like, what? Why is he? We were trying to figure out the righteous, because Peter, George, he knows because he's been with Jesus for 3 years, and so that was the discussion we had yesterday. And you made an excellent point. I said, righteous means that we believe and obey God. It doesn't mean we'll, you know, be free of sin, because you just said the enemy will do anything. I mean, so on this. So it's so right on what did. We were all discussing that. It was like, well, we don't have the mindset of the Lord, so we just have to trust that he knows what he's talking about. That in fact, Peter knows what he was talking about. So it just so happened he talked about that, because that was the question. You know, how can we move forward knowing that we have the army and we have the enemy attacking, to strengthen our faith? And so these are things that are on my mind today. So I just want to say I so appreciate that you shared that in your anyway, so I'll stop talking. So,
well, thank you, Julie. I appreciate that. Yeah, the Bible says that God rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. Lot is a picture of a carnal Christian, and he did put his faith and trust in Jesus, but he tried to live his life in the Lord, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And he was a compromiser, and that caused him to lose everything. He saved his skin. He's a picture of the guy at the judgment seat of Christ. He saved, yet so as through fire, with the smell of smoke still in his clothes. And he had gotten polluted by the world because he was living in a place he should never have been living. He pitched his tent towards Sodom and thought he could handle it, and he couldn't. And he's an example for you and me. If he couldn't handle it, you and I can't handle it either. We need to get away from the edges of sin and not see how close we can come without falling in. We need to steer clear of those things. So thank you for calling in, Julie. Thank you for bringing that up about Lot. Well, we have Dina from McKinney, Texas, in the Dallas area. Dina, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Thank you. I just wanted to share that we just went to the funeral of a dear friend of ours who lost his battle with cancer, and his favorite verse was the verse that you're preaching on, and you just gave a bad example for us, and he was a wonderful example of someone who loved the Lord, and the way that he would share the gospel, even in his funeral service, it was an amazing gospel message. But I was thinking as you were preaching that, you know, the way that I think what he was trying to share with us is the best way to keep the devil at bay is to share the gospel with others and to, you know, keep that in the front of our mind, and that's how we stay sober and how we stay close to the Lord. And he was just a wonderful example of doing that and encouraged others too.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Well, I'm sorry to hear that he passed away, but what a legacy that he left behind. And it sounds like his funeral service was a great celebration of his homegoing. And that's the way funerals should be. You know, we grieve, but we don't grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Because when a Christian dies, we know that they just got the greatest promotion of life. And we're hurting because they're not here, but we're rejoicing because they're with the Lord. And we take to heart what their life said to us and the example that it was. So thank you, Dina. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in today. Well, we have Lee from Virginia on the line. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, sir. I always enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I've been a person, I'm 72 now, but when I was in my, probably around 55, I've always loved old cars, and they meant a whole lot to me, and I always had them. And one time I had two old cars, and I had two other cars that I drove every day, and I was in my carport cleaning those old cars. And the thought run through my mind, I wonder if I lost all this stuff, would I still love the Lord? I had been teaching Sunday school and all for years, And it was 6 months after that thought went through my mind. I had lost my job. I had lost the cars and everything. And it was a fight. And I was kind of like Job. I never with my mouth accused God, but in my heart, it was in my heart, God, do you really know what you're doing? You know, I'm trying to live for you, and I'm doing all this suffering. Well, years after that, that was a bad ordeal. I didn't think it could get any worse. But I had a trial come on me. And it even got to the point where I was doubting my salvation. You know, can I really be saved and think these kind of thoughts? I had never, you know, thought, am I saved? And the Lord had called me to preach during this time. And while I was down at my lowest point, low, about as low as you can get in your mind and in your heart, a preacher come to me, and he had a church that was empty, was going to close. It was 15 people, and he could get nobody to take them. And I took that church, supposed to have been there for a month, and I've been there 4 years. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I took that church, this cloud started lifting off of me. And I found out through that, you know, not only sometimes does Satan come against you after a great victory, but sometimes he'll come against you before a great victory to try to stop that victory from coming. He knows a lot about, I think, what God is going to do or who God is going to use or who God is going to call, and he will come against you to try to stop that victory from coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right, Lee, and praise the Lord that you didn't give up and you kept on going with the Lord. I love the phrase, it's always too early to quit. We need to keep reminding ourselves that, because life does get hard, and we don't know. God's ways are not our way, so we can't understand. So much of the time, we don't understand what God is doing and why things are happening the way they're happening. And I wrote a book called A New Normal, How to Respond to a New Normal. The title is Life Interrupted, How to Deal with a New Normal and Face a New Normal. Because life changes on a dime, and we can get the phone call that, you know, your loved one has been in a terrible accident. You go to the doctor, you get the news, hey, you have pancreatic cancer, it's stage 4, you know. Things can change on us. We don't understand, but we can trust God. And it is better to die in faith than to live in doubt. And so praise the Lord that he's using you, Lee, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing that word. And God bless you in your ministry. Keep looking up and keep trusting him. We have Demetrius from Houston, Texas on the line. Demetrius, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you there, Jeff. A bit of a testimony and a statement to your Red Alert statements here. Absolutely, we need to be on guard at all times. It's difficult, as the scriptures say, you know, we're pilgrims walking through this earth until we go home. The bit of testimony is I did 25 years in prison and became a believer, led a men's Bible study in there for 20 years. And I often grilled the men in there to be ready when you get out there, because the life is going to overwhelm you and you have to pick up responsibilities once you're out there. And I'm out now, obviously. I'm speaking to you now. I've been out for 2.5 years. And the devil is roaming around like a roaring lion. We don't have the time that we had in there to study the scriptures and to walk the walk that we actually preached and talked about and whatnot. Out here is the everyday life for the everyday average person. And I mean the average Christian that doesn't have that time to study rigorously, engulf himself in the Word of God and everything. So it is hard for the young believers out here, or believers that have been even 20-year believers, that they wake up every morning and they have to go to work, and then, you know, they're succumbed to the routine of work and go home, tend to the family, the kids. But the word is of great importance for us to consume on a daily basis. And it is hard. And I'm testifying of that because I'm now in the hustle and bustle and I'm limited in time and trying to sit down and spend time with the Lord, spend time with my wife in the Lord, study the Word of God. I mean, you're a pastor, you know what it takes to study the Word of God rigorously and to get to that level where, man, I've consumed so much that I'm ready to get out here and do what I need to do. But even then, you just got through saying yourself that, you know, all of us, you know, are capable of still sinning or falling short.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you comment on that right quick. Go ahead.
Yeah, I you're exactly right. And one of the things, you know, there are benefits to certain, you know, issues that we would say, well, that's not good. You know, obviously, nobody wants to be in prison, but in prison, you do have a lot of time to study the Word of God. You don't have as many distractions. I mean, you're doing time, so you have a lot of time there. You don't have cell phones and things like that. And so guys do, if you discipline yourself, you can really devour the Word. You can memorize the Word. You're around a lot of people that you can influence for Christ. And so I kind of liken it sometimes to a college atmosphere. You know, college, many college students, you don't have a job. Your job is just school, and school, you know, you're taking 15 hours or something like that. So you have 15 hours in study time. You have a lot of time to be with other people and to grow in the Lord and to disciple one another. And so you got to take advantage of those times. And when you're out and you're busy, as Demetrius, as you said, you know, your life now with you know, a wife and a family and a job, things are more difficult. And so you have to make time to spend unhurried quality time with the Lord, because He is your lifeline. And pray without ceasing, the scripture says. So call Him up first thing in the morning and leave the receiver on, you know, the connection, the line is there, so you can talk to God all day long and let His Word dwell within you richly and meditate on His Word. All those things are critical, because the Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. We need it to guide us, to direct us, and we need the Lord's power in our lives. So thank you for calling in. God bless you, my brother, and thank you for your testimony and what the Lord is doing in your life. Well, we have just another minute. Dennis from Texas. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Free. Thank you for everything you do. Real quick question. I try to obey the Lord in every way I can. I get horrendous headaches every day. Do you have any thoughts on how I could do something about this?
Mm. Well, man, I'm sorry to hear that, Dennis. Headaches are one of the worst. They just dominate. I don't get a lot of those, but when I do, it's just like, oh, I got to do anything to get rid of this. I have some friends that suffer from migraines, and, you know, so obviously you've checked everything out physically. That would be the first thing to do, and go to the doctor, neurologist, whatever you need to do there. But I would cling to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul had his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but we know that it was something severe. And the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness." And so I would just encourage you, Dennis, just to cling to the Lord's grace and to keep coming before Him. Hebrews 4:16, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today. And we talked about our adversary, the devil, and the need to be on the alert with our guard up, because he never quits. But the Lord is there for us as we walk with Him. He loves us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. So go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things He's done for you, and God will use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.